As the Lord has given me the word, we're coming into the time of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50th, and that's a time of refreshing. And as we're coming into that, we're coming to a place of desperation, a place of determination, which brings restoration and brings a transformation. We need to get desperate about God. We need to be determined to seek hard after Him so that we can be restored and we can be transformed. On the day of Pentecost, just like when they were in the upper room. And so what does it say? What does desperation mean? Desperation means having a great need or a desire for something. And this is how we should be desperate for God. We should have a great need and be a desire the presence of the Lord. Moses said in Exodus 33, he said, he did not want to go anywhere without the presence of the Lord. And he wanted the mark of God on him wherever he went. He wanted the mark of God. King David says in Psalms 42, I'm sorry, it said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the true and living God. We should be thirsting for God. We should have a thirst for the Lord. We should come and drink from the living water. As Jesus told the woman and Samaritan woman at the well, when you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. So it should come a time of desperation as we're coming into the Pentecost time. How do we get to that desperation? It's by seeking to have an intimate relationship with God. Being intimate. Intimacy is one of the most powerful relationships you can have. And if you have an intimacy, will not yield service, but service will yield intimacy. And oftentimes we're intimate with things in the church and we're intimate and doing the work of the Lord, but not having that intimacy with God, not spending that quality time with God. He said in Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's what we want to do. We want to dwell in that secret place. What does it mean? It means to ponder. It means a place of rest. It's a place that you go into and you just rest there so you can hear what God is saying. So we want to go into the secret place with God. We want to be desperate for Him, to hear Him and to receive His presence. Again, Moses didn't want to go anywhere without the presence of the Lord. And then King David also said in Psalms 139, he said, I am desperate to know you, O Lord. I'm desperate to know your thoughts. And he told God, he said, to investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me, even though God know us. But David had a cry because he wanted God to investigate him. He wanted God to reveal to him what was in him because he wanted to desperately be around God and wanted God's presence. He wanted God to cross-examine him and test him. He wanted him to see for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. And then he wanted him to guide him on the road of eternity. And that's what we should be with God. We should say, Lord, I'm desperate to know your thoughts and hear my voice. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to search after you, oh God. We want to know, hallelujah, want you to know our heart and we know your heart. Test me, oh Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. Reveal to me the offensive ways in me. And we need to dwell and be led by the way of everlasting. And then David said, lead me into your presence, I pray. Draw near unto God. That's what he mean about being desperate. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm desperate, hallelujah, for you to be with me. I'm desperate. I want the mark of God on me. And then the next thing is determination. What does determination mean? It means a firmness of purpose and a firm intent or decision which has been reached. So you want to be determined to get into that place with God. You want to be determined, Lord. Hallelujah. I got to touch you. Lord, I got to be in your presence. Queen Esther in 4:16, she said when she was going before the king on behalf of the Israelites in Persia, when she was going before the king, she said, now, if I perish, I perish, but I got to see the King. So we have to have that determination. God, if I perish and whatever you call me to do, I want to do it. I want to be obedient to you. God, I am determined to be in your presence. And in Ephesians 3:6, when we are determined to be in the presence of the Lord, he says in Ephesians 3:20, it says, to him who is able to do super abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When we're determined, hallelujah, first we got to be desperate. And then we were determined to do the will of the Lord. Whatever he said, God, if I perish, I perish. You say, go to the left, I'm going to the left. You say, go to the right, I'm going to the right. If I perish, going either way, I perish. But I'm going to be obedient to you, God, because I'm determined. I have a firmness of purpose, and I have a firm intent. The decision I make is to serve you. The decision I make is to be in your presence. The decision I make is to pant after you. And then God comes with an exceedingly, hallelujah, and an abundance of power, hallelujah, for you and in you that works. And he's the same God. We have to remember, he's the same God that Esther dealt with. He's the same God that David dealt with. He's the same God that it's in our life now. So the next thing we want, restoration. And as you have a desperation and a determination from God, there comes that restoration. That's a time of refreshing. That's what we're walking into now, into the Pentecost. We're walking into a time of refreshing. Well, God is going to refresh us. He's going to restore us. He's going to rejuvenate us. He's going to refurbish us. He's going to recondition us. He's going to put us in a place where we've been reconditioned by him. That's the time of refreshing. Well, God's going to bring about a visitation to his people. How many want to have a visitation with God? I want a personal visitation with God. I want to go to the mountain, the foot of the mountain. Like God told Moses, tell the Israelites to fast for 3 days. Get ready to come visit me. And when you came to the mountain, they all came and the wind blew and Moses stood there while the presence of the Lord was there. That was their personal visitation. And as they were standing there, they ran. But yet, restoration came. Some got healed on the way. Some got delivered. But the presence of God, hallelujah, bring forth healing, bring forth deliverance, and bring forth restoration. We want the action of returning. What is restoration? It's the action of returning something of a former owner, place, or condition. Now listen to that. Restoration is the action of returning something to a former owner. See, we were already owned by God from the beginning of time. So he's coming back to restore what belongs to him. He's coming back for his people. That's the purpose of Christ going to the cross. He came back for humanity. God is the original owner of us, of humanity. He's coming back to that place of restoration to restore you, to repair you. Hallelujah. To fix, to mend, to refurbish what you need. And you know, we need some things in God. I need some things in God. And we all need some things in God. We all need to be refreshed. We all need that time of refreshing where the Spirit of the Lord comes. Hallelujah. Like a mighty rushing wind and just sits there and have his way. And he said he inhabit the praises of his people. And when you lift up a praise, hallelujah, he say he pitches in his tent right there where you at. So that means he sit right there where you at, and he just begin to restore you. He begins to rejuvenate you. He begins to replenish what the enemy has taken out of you. He say he begins to restore it back. Hallelujah. The years that the canker worm have eaten up, he comes back to restore you. He comes back to give you back what he has not planted in you. He comes to uproot, to tear down and destroy things were planted in you. And then he begins to implant himself in you. Hallelujah. So you can be a mighty warrior. He told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to them dry bones, speak to them, and they will rise up and become a great army. See, we're rising up during this time, this end time. But the Pentecost has to come. The Holy Spirit has to come. Hallelujah. And refresh his people and fill his people so that we can rise up and become that great army for the Lord. So what do we have to do? It said in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. Some of us need to be converted. Our sins are blocked out. We need a time of refreshing. We need the presence of the Lord so we can be this great army. And then what he said in Acts 3:21, he said, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration for all things, which God has spoken by his mouth to all his holy prophets since the world began. The time of refreshing contributes to the time of restoration. So what am I saying? We need to be restored. First, we need to have a desperation for God. Once we have a desperation for God, that brings a determination. And we're determined, hallelujah, to do the will of the Lord. We're determined to move forward. And as we're determined to do God's will, and as we're restored, praise the Lord, that's when that transformation comes. What is a transformation? It's a major or a total change. A change. A major change. You're not just going to be the same, because the Bible said all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's your salvation. That's your conversion. But then God begins to you start to grow. He begins to move on you, the Holy Spirit. You begin to grow line upon line, precept upon precept. So as God begins to transform you, he begins to get rid of that self-delusion. What is self-delusion? You have to be willing to leave the self-delusion back and be willing to allow God to change your thinking. Self-delusion means that it's all about you. God can't use you if it's all about you. God wants to use you if it's all about him. It's not about you, but it's about the Lord. So you got to be willing to change our thinking and be transformed and allow God to transform us. You have to be willing to recognize that there is some self-delusion that's going on in us that God wants to remove, because he said there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh. So we all struggle with it time after time. But God, that's the restoration. That's the time of refreshing where he comes and where we need a miraculous shift in our behavior and our thinking. God is bringing a shift. That's what the Pentecost came, and it shifted the disciples from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. Thinking in the flesh and like man to thinking in the spirit and become kingdom minded. That's where we're becoming kingdom minded. So God is going to shift the way we think, and so we can shift and think like Christ. So we can shift and act like Christ. So we can shift and love like Christ. So we can shift and forgive like Christ. So we can shift and have the image of Christ. So we can shift and have the likeness of Christ. He said in Philippians 2:25, let this mind, hallelujah, be in you that was in Christ. So what is he saying? In everything, how do we get that transformation? How do we get that restoration? How do we get that determination? How do we get that desperation? First, you give thanks to the Lord, because we're coming in to Pentecost. We're coming into a time of refreshing. So we want to give thanks to the Lord. What is opposite? What's the opposite of being thankful? Is being unthankful and ungrateful. We don't want to be unthankful and ungrateful. In 2 Timothy 3, it talks about lovers of ourselves and lovers of money and lovers of being boastful and arrogant and disobedience. The Bible said that obedience is better than sacrifice. We want to obey. See, going back, Queen Esther didn't want to go to the king. But when Mordecai told her, he says, well, if you don't go and do what thus said the Lord, you're going to perish with us. But she said, I made up my mind. If I perish, I perish. But I am going to see the king. So she went to the king, and that brought her about her obedience. She obeyed the call. So we have to obey the call that God has called us to do. What's the second thing? We're called upon the name of the Lord. In Jeremiah 33:3, they call it God's telephone number. Call upon the Lord and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things. You need to call upon God. While he said, while I may be found, he said, seek me and I will answer you. God wants us to call upon him during the hard times, during the bad times, during the good times, when you're on the mountaintop, when you're in the valley. He wants you to call upon him. He don't want you just to call upon him when things are going hard. But even in the good time, give thanks. Hallelujah. Even in the bad time, give thanks. He said, because this is the will of God. He wants us to give thanks for everything. Why? Because he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're good and not evil. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. Whatever trial you in, if I led you there, I'm bringing you out. If you led yourself there, I'm bringing you out. Regardless to what you're in, God's going to bring you out. That's an assurance because he said in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there with you. So wherever you at, God is going to bring you out. So that's why I say just call on me in whatever situation you find yourself in. What's the next thing he said? God, make his deeds known to the people. Tell them about how good God is. Tell them about what he's done for you. Shout his name out on the rooftop because God has done some miraculous things. At the tent revival, God just, I mean, he came through the, one of the pastors blew the shofar three times and fell flat back on his, he just fell back, just glorifying God. And the shofar was in his hand. Then at our another service, one of the gentlemen came and he was blowing the shofar, two of them at one time. And every time he blew the sound, hallelujah, he fell to his knees and started magnifying God. He picked the shofar back up and then he started blowing them again. Then he fell on his knees again and started praying and magnifying God. Hallelujah, letting everybody know how good God is. He was blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm on God's holy mountain. He wants us to make his deeds known to the people. Tell them about me. Tell them what I've done for you. Tell them, hallelujah, so that they would know that God is God and he's the only true and living God. Remind the people that his name is exalted. Hallelujah. God's name is exalted above your trials and your tribulation. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Shalom, will bring you peace in the midst of your storm. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee when the doctor gives you a bad report. He can heal you. Say, call upon me. My name is great. Exalt my name higher and bigger than your circumstances and your situation. Remind the people that Jehovah Sabaoth, he fights your battles. It's Jehovah Sikkenu. He is our righteousness. Jehovah Nissi, his banner is rounded about. He said, let the people know that my name is exalted. He told Moses, when you go to Pharaoh, he said, tell him. He said, Moses said, who do I tell him sent me? He said, tell him I am that I am. I'm everything that you have need of. Tell him about me. Tell him I am sent you. So when you go to the doctor, when you go on someplace, they say, well, who told you? He said, I am, hallelujah, said that I am healed. I am that I am. And then he said, sing songs to the Lord. As you sing songs and lift up your voice to the Lord, then he said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Last but not least, he said, cry out, he said, and give a ring, hallelujah, of shout to the Lord. Shout to God with the voice of triumph and give God the glory. Give God all the praise. So what are we saying on today? As we come into our Pentecost, we want to be desperate for God. As you're desperate, bring about a desperation for God. It brings about a determination. You're determined to do the will. You're determined to be in the presence of the Lord. And as you're determined to be in his presence, because he said, them that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he said, you shall abide. Not you will, but you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then as you determine to abide, it brings about restoration, that time of refreshing. Well, we need to be refreshed. We need to be restored. We need to be rejuvenated so that we can be transformed. There's a transformation that comes that you would never, ever be the same. So, Father God, we thank you. And we ask, oh God, that you would make us hungry for you and give us the distinction of Moses to stand out by your presence. Grant us the single purpose of David to seek your face. Give us the desperation of the sons of Korah to yearn for you. Grant us the intimacy of Anna to fellowship with you moment by moment, and give us the wisdom of Mary to choose you first, and give us the resolution of Paul to know nothing but you. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this time of refreshing, oh God. We're determined, oh God, to be restored, to be in your presence, oh God. And then, Lord, we thank you for transforming us and renewing our mind, oh God, that we would know what the perfect will is for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.